Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 336. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello.
And Jeff.
Yo.
And Pete.
Sup.
Instead of us kind of touching on games we've been playing right off the bat, PlayStation Experience happened pretty much immediately after we were done recording last week. So, yeah. And there were some big announcements that came out of there. Big, depending upon how you feel about them.
Right. If you don't play Sony games, you won't give a shit about almost everything that was said here.
All right, and done. See you guys later.
It's funny because I do play Sony games, and there was a lot of stuff that I was like, "Eh, all right, I guess."
I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. It's more than anyone else is announcing right now. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean that's kind of the thing, right? Like we're in the middle of
it's a nice little treat.
But this is Sony's MO. I mean, they don't really have anything. Let's announce a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, well, they figured that out after last E3,
this E3 15,
whatever. Like lately, like the last few events they do, with they're like just promising the moon to everybody. So just whatever. At least you're listening and you're doing things that people want.
But I guess one of the big ones I think we might have talked about it a little bit last week. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite or Marvel vs. Capcom 4, I guess it's now called Infinite. That was confirmed. It's coming sometime next year. It is not exclusive to the PlayStation, but it was showcased there. So
Sony likes to pretend.
I mean,
they do that with Call of Duty too. It's the Sony ad.
All about to be fair, Microsoft did that with Call of Duty for years, but now nobody plays Call of Duty, so evidently.
Yeah.
And they do it with Destiny too. PlayStation does it with Destiny all the time.
They got to beat their. How long did everybody think that Microsoft was pretending that Tomb Raider was an Xbox exclusive?
Sure.
You know, even though everyone knew it was timed, they're like, no, it's an Xbox exclusive.
No, they never said it was. It was one of those things where they were pretending, but also not pretending.
Well, like, but the way Phil Spencer would word everything was like it's Xbox only, and it's like
it was very well, like the semantics on that were very well worded.
He never lied.
It was Xbox only this holiday season,
right? He always put a qualifier in there.
Like it was weird. Like and PlayStation does the exact same thing, and it's awkward. But yeah, that's a game, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yep, 2v2.
Yeah, I don't. 3v3. I mean, you're the fighting game fan, Pete. Does this excite you?
What the fuck is going on here?
I'm more interested in seeing what happens with Injustice 2.
Injustice 2, I think, is just going to be Injustice 1 with more characters. At least from what they've shown, it doesn't seem like they're trying to change up. You know, why fix what isn't broken? Injustice 1 was pretty successful, so.
Which is basically just Mortal Kombat with superhero characters, right?
It's the same team and stuff like that. So this is 2v2 instead of 3v3. So it's kind of like Tatsunoko versus Capcom more than MVC3.
Right.
They're incorporating the Infinity Gems from the movies, but it's, from the comics.
From the comics,
And it's not entirely sure how they'll work, if you'll pick one per character or if you'll pick one per match and then activate it as you would have your X-Factor in the third game that sort of gave you a huge boost of, power and stuff, and it would...
Okay.
And stuff like that, and it would be... it would increase strength the fewer characters you had. So if you used it when you had one character, it would last very long, but it would last for 30 seconds if you used with your last character. So it's only 6 characters announced so far.
The rosters on those games are generally pretty sprawling. So
I think by the end of it, Marvel Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom had 40 characters or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could probably expect quite a lot of characters from both Marvel and Capcom here.
Yeah. I mean, so far, it's just your basics. You got Mega Man X, you got Ryu and Morgan, you got
Iron Man, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel's the only the interesting one, because she, as far as I know, hasn't been in any of them before.
Right, but she does have a movie coming out shortly, so.
Right, so that's kind of the benefit, I guess, of that, is that it kind of makes space for new people. At least on the Marvel end, God only knows what they'll do. I feel like they've already put all the Capcom characters in. I feel like the only character they haven't put in is, like, Leon Kennedy from Resident Evil. Like, he's Claire Redfield coming. And stuff, like...
Yeah, it's basically Resident Evil versus Marvel.
I mean, at this point, yeah.
I mean, you could do that. Marvel does have Marvel Zombies series, so...
It would be pretty cool, actually, if there were a couple of those. Yeah, I mean, you can expect, like, Spider-Man and Thor and all the Avengers, because they're, you know, lining it up with the movies and stuff. So you can expect probably some more of the Guardians. And I mean, Rocket Raccoon was in Ultimate, but maybe you can get some fewer ones, or newer ones, rather, you know, Star-Lord or Drax. Or
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I guess, was available that day, Friday or Saturday last week.
As far as I'm aware, that... Is it on Xbox, or is that PlayStation exclusive?
I don't believe it's shown up on the Xbox. If it has, I don't...
Or is it exclusive for 30 days? I heard some... Nobody could really understand. Nobody could give me a straight answer on...
March 2017.
Okay, so it's like a 3 month.
Four months, yeah. It's coming to Windows PC and Xbox One in March 2017.
Yeah. So it'll be everywhere. And stuff.
So there's that. So that I don't think there was any other real big fighting game news that kind of came out of there. But
no, they did announce that. What is it? You know, everybody knew that Akuma was coming as the next character in Street Fighter V, but they did announce that there will be 5 additional characters for season 2.
Okay.
And at least 2 to 3 of the silhouettes are like unrecognizable, so they may just be brand new characters, which is kind of cool.
That's cool. So, I mean, if you know you're looking to get people back into Street Fighter, that might do it.
Right, and maybe. You know, considering what they've done with the game, like now might be a reasonable time because it's probably only like $30 as well to buy into that. So those two were the only fighting game. You know, I mean, no Tekken news or anything like that. So.
Yeah, they I guess a Wipeout HD collection is coming.
Right, that's 3 PS4. Games, right?
Yeah, it's called the Omega Collection, I guess. It has Wipeout HD, Wipeout HD Fury, and Wipeout 2048. They're not, I don't know if you guys play Wipeout, they're not like the best Wipeout games, but, you know, being as we're probably not going to get a new Wipeout game, they're good enough, I guess.
it was funny. Did any of you guys watch the conference live?
I did not.
Okay, I did. And well, Layden, you know, he kind of took a page out of Phil Spencer's book, and you know, he wears shirts corresponding with you know old franchises that people want, and so he was wearing a Wipeout shirt when he came on stage, and before he had announced the game. Announced, one of those things where everybody was like, all right, well, what game is he going to put on now?
Right. For whatever reason, Knack 2 is coming.
I love that the Giant Bomb guys were like, did we accidentally cause this?
It's their fault.
Was it? Did we ironically will this into existence?
God, I don't... That game is bad.
Yeah, Knack was a launch game that was bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was also a launch game, so it sold. So that's probably why.
Right, and like ultimately, apparently it's really big with kids, so which would make sense. Yeah. That's kind of its market.
Right. It was a mascot esque character action game. I don't know. I didn't think it was very good.
No, and I'm not surprised.
So that is coming, I guess. Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, which isn't really. It's not a brand new Uncharted game, but it is also not like a bolt on to Uncharted 4. It's going to be a standalone.
But chapter. It does count as their single player DLC for the game.
So if you have their season pass, like, you'll get this with that. But if you don't have it, you can buy this separately. And it stars Chloe Frazier and
Nadine
Ross. Yeah, Nadine was from Uncharted 4. Chloe from Uncharted 2 and 3.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of both those characters. So they're both pretty good.
And I mean, we'll see where it goes. That could be interesting, and then maybe a good way to expand that series without having to continue to rely on Nathan Drake and that stuff there. So, Crash.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, I'm not a Crash fan, but that seems exciting for some people, I guess.
Well, I look, those are the games that I, like, when I first started playing video games, those were it for me. Like, you know, as a 5-year-old sure. kid who had never played a PlayStation before and stuff like that.
Sure.
And so, like, when they announced the remasters, I was like, oh, this is going to be some, like, Ocarina of Time bullshit where they just port the game to a system and say that it has better graphics. But they're actually, like, putting way more effort into it than I would have expected them to do.
It legitimately, like, visually, it looks really good.
And that's the thing, like, I mean, it's got Skylanders art style, right? I mean, this is the same Vicarious Visions or whoever's doing,
Yeah, it's Vicarious Visions. Who did, like, I don't think they did the last Skylanders game, but they did the two previous ones to that. So.
Right. So, and they, after PSX, the PlayStation blog put out a bunch of, like, blog posts that sort of expanded on all of their announcements. And in there they had said that they're, like, redoing all the menus, they're porting in a real checkpoint save system for the first game, which operated on a password system. When it first came out, the first game's getting the most work because it was the first one and needed the most work. So, you know, box counters and things like that, and, you know, the quality of life things, basically, which is pretty cool. No release date or anything, it seems, but,
Ni No Kuni 2. Is coming, I guess. That looks really good.
I never played the first one.
It's
I owned really it, good. But I never finished it.
It's a really good. It's more of a traditional JRPG, but it's quite good. So, let's see. Parappa the Rapper, Loco Roco, and Patapon are coming out on PS4.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a demo for Parappa the Rapper already, it seems like, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's a demo out there.
It looks like they fixed it. So I always had problems with Parappa the Rapper.
Like latency problems?
Yeah, like where, and like that game was fucking unplayable. Like.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, at least according to the Giant Bomb guys.
It sounds like it's been fixed. I haven't tried it, but... So that's kind of cool that, like, that game is playable now for people that haven't been able to play it. I don't necessarily want to play it, but Patapon's pretty good.
Sure. I never played them.
It's an interesting, like, puzzle rhythm game. Tony, this is kind of up your alley.
Okay.
Cause you like the NBA 2K stuff.
I do.
The last couple of years, they've been doing the be a pro thing. And I'm not sure what they call it, my career or whatever. And career, like, mode, yep. Yeah, you have some stuff outside the court.
Yeah.
MLB The Show is doing some stuff off the field.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know exactly what that is, but could be interesting, I think. So
MLB The Show is like the one Sony exclusive I really miss.
It's
pretty good.
Yeah, it's a really good baseball game.
And they got like a retro mode in there that makes it look like the old Ken Griffey Jr. game.
Oh, right, because he is the cover athlete this year. So that's kind of cool. Let's see. Lara Croft Go is coming to PlayStation 4 and Vita with new levels.
That sounds like a cool Vita game. I would never play it on a television.
Yeah, it's like I mean I played it on my PC. It's really good.
Oh, I didn't even know it was on PC. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that's a really good, I think it's better than Hitman Go and Deus Ex Go. So
I do really enjoy the like animation of it and stuff.
Windjammers, the Neo Geo 1994.
Fucking what, man?
What game is coming to PlayStation 4? I don't know. That's weird. Like,
has anyone ever played that game?
It's beyond my time.
I never had a Neo Geo. So.
What? I don't understand. Half of these announcements are for things that people never wanted, never asked for.
No, Windjammers, dude. Like, there's one show I listen to. They talk about Windjammers.
Is that one constantly. Show Giant Bomb, or is it?
No, okay. No.
So there's another show that talks about it? Because that's the only time I've ever heard Windjammers discussed is on the Giant Bomb cast. So.
It's a show that actually ended this year, but it's the Retro Game Squad. I've mentioned them before. Like, they just do, like...
So that makes sense. Like, they talk about retro games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they do, like, a different topic. Like, every month, like, once a month, they do, like, you know, TurboGrafx games, whatever. Like, but they would, like, on several episodes, they would just go on about, like, they get sidetracked and go talking about Windjammers. So, like, I don't know. I've never played it, but it's, like, been this mythical game that I've heard about.
I mean, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Death Stranding had a trailer. It was weird.
Oh, no, that was from the Game Awards.
Oh, it was from the Game Awards. Like, they had it, but he was at...
He had a panel there, though.
Yeah, he was at a panel. They're using the Horizon Zero Dawn engine.
Yeah, they set up a satellite office in Amsterdam to, like, with them on the tech side of stuff.
Yeah. So, there we go. That's Death Stranding. That game will be coming in 2020.
Are there that few ideas for games out there now that you have to keep reusing ones that people don't even want?
What do you mean?
Like, Sony's reaching back for all of these franchises. Like, really?
Well, I mean, I think the Windjammers thing was a joke. Like, I think it cost them probably nothing to put that out.
It's just the old game too, right?
Yeah, no. Well, and they are like giving it online play and stuff like that. But
yeah, I mean, stuff like that probably doesn't cost them anything, and it you know is able to get people talking about it at least on certain sites and
yeah.
But I guess the big news out of it was that The Last of Us Part Two is coming.
Yeah.
Ellie, they're continuing the story of Ellie and Joel. Ellie is the main character this time around. And
which I'm all about.
She's going to kill all those motherfuckers.
Yeah. That was like, it was a weird thing because like, I wasn't sure I wanted it up until the very moment that trailer occurred.
I'm
okay with this now. Like, look. I give people mad shit for like crying over Zelda trailers and stuff. And I'm not gonna say I cried over this trailer because Jesus Christ, I have some pride in myself. But there was like an emotional reaction to probably just the shock that it was occurring in the first place. Because I like honestly believed that it was not ever gonna happen. Because you know, in all honesty, it didn't need to.
It didn't need to happen.
No.
Yeah.
But you know, it probably you know. Sony at some point was like, you guys make it, or we give it to somebody else to make it, because we own it. And it made a ton of money.
Probably. I mean, they also own Naughty Dog, so...
Well, sure, but, like, you know, they probably... Right. I mean, they have control of the IP. Like, look, you know, if you guys don't want to do it, I'm sure we can find somebody who does. Ben's not doing anything. We can give them something to do, you know?
And they have handed off
that's exactly
Naughty Dog franchises to them in the past to make Vita games for. So
you know, and you know, at least according to Druckmann in the panel, he was like, you know, he's like, we started and stopped this thing multiple times. right? He's like, we tried to make a sequel a couple times. We didn't think it worked. We dropped it. We did this. We did that. And he goes, now we feel we're at a place to do it. Excuse me. So
good. I mean, I hope it works out. I hope it plays better than the first one. So,
well, funnily enough, I think Bruce Straley, who does
the gameplay,
is not working on the game.
Yeah.
He's on sabbatical. So the gameplay may be somewhat different. I don't know. I mean, I feel like they've kind of improved their process through Uncharted 2, Last of Us, Uncharted 4, to reach a point where maybe it's decent.
Why'd you skip Uncharted 3?
Because they didn't make Uncharted 3.
Oh.
Amy Hennig's team did. Yeah, and their team made Last of Us while she was making it. Yeah.
Well, and the gameplay is not the important part of that game, though, either, I don't think.
Like, well, that's kind of the thing with all their games, right, is that the gameplay is secondary to their stories, so.
I mean,
well, especially in The Last of Us, I'd say.
For
more
me,
so
personally,
than
like, I've been totally okay with that for, like, I don't mind, I guess. I know a lot of people do, but I've never found their gameplay to be, like, so averse to the point where I'm like, I can't possibly play this.
Oh, God.
No, it's not. I don't think it's ever been that, like, egregious. It's just, I do think that they get into a pattern of very specific encounter patterns with all of their games.
I mean, look, when you enter a room, you know if there's going to be a firefight or not.
Right. I mean, and my problem is that, like, the actual, you know, firefight, the actual gunplay has never been quite up to par with what I want. So,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, there are definitely better, you know, corridor shooters or third person shooters, whatever you want to call them out there. Like, no doubt about that.
And just the nature of, I mean, we've had this discussion on the show before, the nature of a lot of The Last of Us being stealth oriented. And some of the weird things that go on with that.
I was just gonna say it's like a very strict stealth game. That's the other thing about it. Like
except in certain parts, and then yeah. there are very specific parts where you cannot stealth your way through. Like you are supposed to kill everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. My thing about this whole thing is like I love The Last of Us, but I was really not hoping for a sequel. I thought it ended perfectly, like it told a whole story. I didn't want more. I didn't need more. And I don't know. I forgot what else he was going to say about it. But
yeah,
like,
it's like I have major issues with the ending of that game. Like, I didn't really feel that we needed to explore anything more, at least with these characters. Like, maybe there was something more to be explored in that universe, but maybe not with Joel and Ellie. Like, I felt their story was done, whether I liked how it ended or not. Like, I felt that it was over.
I mean, no doubt, right? So
I think that this game will be good, though, and I hope it's awesome. Like, I hope I love it just as much as the first one, but I was disappointed when I heard about the trailer because, like, that means they're not doing something else that's new. Like, this is what we're getting next, is that. So it's...
Well, they have two teams because somebody's working on this Uncharted stuff.
Yeah,
too.
But...
But I mean, I think that's also with Jeff, like you have the Uncharted shit being worked on and you have Last of Us shit being worked on. So, I mean, hopefully they do have something in the pipeline that's new and exploratory, but we'll see. I mean, that was the big piece out of that, right? Like, I don't think anything else was really bigger than...
No, I mean, that capped off the show, so...
All right. Well, one other thing here is, Tony, you still have EA access, right?
I do.
Star Wars Battlefront is coming next week.
Battlefront! I haven't played it yet either, which...
So you now play it for free completely. You probably still have your 10 hours of free anyway. But,
I do.
Yeah, now it's completely free, so...
Might be worth giving a shot.
It's fun.
I have it. You have the season pass?
I do have the season pass, but I play non-season pass as well. So,
have you played any of the Rogue One stuff? Is that out yet?
Not out till next week, I think.
Okay, when the movie comes out.
I haven't played it this week, so if it did come out this week, I haven't seen it because I've been knee deep in Final Fantasy. So
yeah, buddy.
Which we'll talk about really shortly. Jeff, you still have Call of Duty Modern Warfare?
Yes, I do.
Six new maps are dropping.
Oh, really? For the original Modern Warfare, right?
Yeah, for Modern Warfare. Yeah, so yeah. For six new maps are dropping for free if you have Modern Warfare Remastered. I have uninstalled both of those games from my hard drive. So.
I thought about selling it actually the other day, and I looked up what you get for it at GameStop, and it was $22. I was like, "You could keep your $22."
Yeah, I was in the same position, but I looked it up a week and a half ago, and it was worth more, and now it's worth $22. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, you can check Amazon. Sometimes they have better prices. Yeah, and it's cash, not store credit either.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
or it's Amazon credit.
I was just going to use it to get Last Guardian cheaper.
So if you're interested in that, that's there. And I guess Vivendi is getting really close to hostile takeovering Ubisoft. So.
Oh yeah, I thought that was. I thought they pushed that aside, but they came back swinging.
Yeah, that's a brand new news story from today. So. Looks like they're getting close to maybe taking that over. Let's talk about some shit we've been playing, though, because Jeff just mentioned it. The Last Guardian.
It exists.
It does.
It does. It is a real game. I put it in my PlayStation before. I don't know. It is, Tony. It's real. it is a real game that feels like it maybe should have come out about 6 years ago.
Oh no.
No kidding.
I'm not saying that like in a bad, well, yes, that's a bad thing. Like,
yeah.
But I think it's unique enough that it kind of like surpasses that in some ways. In other ways, it's fucking weird.
Yeah. I agree with everything Chris just said. Like to a T.
I think it's like this really cool, like unique thing, and all the Team Eco games are kind of like that, right? Like they're different than everything else out there, and this is like a weird mix of like Eco and Shadow of the Colossus. It's a it's a puzzle platformer in a way, I guess. I don't know. Jeff, I think is a little bit further in it than I am.
It's more of that.
It's more of that. I just got up to like the first enemy encounter.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm maybe like an hour past you, if that.
Do you ever actually fight the enemies yourself?
I haven't. I always just lure them to the bird doggy.
Right.
To bird dog.
Where Jeff and I were talking about it. Like text and I had just started like Jeff was a little bit further past it than I was, and I get up to this piece where Trico fucking ate me. And this has happened in a couple other games before, but like where something happens and you're like, what the hell did I do wrong? Like, why did I die? Notably the beginning of the original Silent Hill. As well, to the point where I was like, and that was a weird one because I didn't know, like, you weren't, that was really at the beginning of the game, and I kept hitting reset on the PlayStation. I was like, what the fuck did I do wrong? Why did I die again? Like,
but it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it was. So you're supposed to die at the beginning of Silent Hill, and you're supposed to die in this. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? because it went to kind of like this loading screen. And I was like, it's just reloading the checkpoint, but there was a cutscene after it. So, the puzzles.
He was supposed to eat you.
Yeah. The puzzles seem simple, I guess. You do often stumble into the solution, though, because Trico is a pain in the ass to control. So, like, what you think might be the solution doesn't seem obvious at first because. You know, Trico doesn't necessarily do what you want him to do or go where you need him to go. So that solution isn't always readily apparent right away.
Yeah, that's a problem, I think, because it's like there are times like you like get on top of them. Like I get like they're going for that. Like they're trying to do that. I think is like that's part of the game.
He's a wild or she or whatever Trico is yeah. a wild animal, and like you can't. I mean, maybe later on you get more control over
you do. All right,
bird dog well, creature thing.
I could tell. All right, let me tell you about that. Because you do eventually get commands, right?
Okay.
It'll say, hold down R1 and then press any of the other face buttons, and they do the commands. It doesn't tell you what any of the commands do.
Oh, no.
Like, so you just, like, do things. Like one of them is, like, you clap your hands above your head, right? But I'm not 100% sure of that. What that makes him do. And he doesn't always respond. So, like, that's interesting because it's, like, they're making it like you're dealing with an actual animal. Like, that's cool.
Right. So, like, you're training it yourself and trying to figure out what works with the animal. Got it.
But, like, a lot of that is also, like, ends up, you know, at the end of the day being you're standing around on his back waiting for him to walk over to the ledge that you want him to walk over to. Like, until he just randomly decides to do that. And it's like, I don't know. It's frustrating a little bit at times, I think.
It can be, yeah. I mean, I also had some of these same frustrations with Lyco and Shadow of the Colossus too, though. So.
But the thing you said about stumbling onto the solution of puzzles, that's also like I think it's a little weird because like oftentimes when I walk into a new area, I'm like I am unsure what to do, and I guess like that's common of like any sort of like puzzle game, like you know Tomb Raider. You walk into a tomb, you're like I don't know what to do,
right.
But, like, when you walk into these big, gigantic areas or rooms, and you're like, I don't know,
and
level design doesn't point towards it well enough, I don't think.
The visual design of the game doesn't seem strong enough that, like, okay, maybe I can come over here. Because there are things that look like you should be able to climb that you can't climb. Like, there looks like there's ledges that you should be able to, like, scale and stuff, but you can't do it, so like
yeah,
and you end up trying that and die, or you just get stuck somewhere and it's like what am I doing, like,
and it's also I guess like exasperating that problem or whatever is like the fact that like when you walk into a room you have to look at it in two different ways. You have to look at it as what can I do with a gigantic ass bird, and also are there any little tiny cracks somewhere that I can slip through. So it's like
right,
you're looking at it through, like, because there's puzzles that involve both you and the creature that you're trying to guide through the game, like, so you don't know what you're looking for at first, like, yeah, which like, one. Like,
do I need to get out of here to go open up a door somewhere so that Trico can join me and do something else, or yeah, it's a lot of trial and error and like just trying to figure out exactly what's going on, which is interesting. You know, in a day and age in games where so many things just hold your hands through everything. But it can be a little bit frustrating at times.
Well, especially if it comes from that old era, man. I mean, Shadow, man, didn't tell you shit.
Yeah, and this doesn't really either. Like, there is a weird hint system where if you kind of get stuck in an area for too long, the narrator, which I assume is an older you, will kind of like try and point you in the right direction. And there's actually an achievement for being stuck on all of them and hearing all the tips.
Great.
Which that seems terrible.
Yeah, let me just like sit here long enough for the game to think I'm an idiot.
You guys
like,
have talked about this game, and here I am, you know, crossing it off.
Well, I mean, I think we're being hard on it. Like, I'm saying the most critical things I have to say. I do think that it's interesting, and I'm enjoying it. Like, it's weird. It's right, just like I have
problems. I want to play more of it. I want to see where it goes. Yeah. I am a little annoyed that like they kind of gave me like this mystical laser pointer thing pretty early on, and
I still don't have that back, dude.
Bird dog ate me, and I think it swallowed it.
God damn it, stupid.
Yeah. So, I hear it's about 10, 12 hours long, so.
Which sounds excruciating.
Eh. Depends. Like, I'm playing it in, like, small chunks, so.
It's one that I'm scared to walk away from, though, for more than a day. Because I feel like if I boot it up at some point, like, after it's been, like, a couple days, I'll be like, what the fuck? No idea.
Because aside from, like, the weird, and there's a bunch of, like, technical things, too. Like, it's a bit framey.
The controls are fucking, terrible.
Weird as fuck. Like, jump is on triangle. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? And I
just saw, the way you walk, I think, feels bad. Like, it feels weird. Yeah. It's like, if you hold on the stick long enough, you get momentum, but...
It's witchery.
It's witchery?
Yeah.
I didn't play enough of that.
Yeah, well, that's the how the old movement system worked.
Right, like the original Witcher 3, where you kind of like you don't like just start going right away. It takes a little while to get moving, and then like stopping isn't quite instant either. But yeah, it feels slippery because of that. What else? Like, yeah, the camera is shit.
Yeah,
it's like I feel like Jeff and I are shitting on it. But I am actually enjoying playing it.
Like, it's like despite
and please explain.
I don't know.
Despite all those things, there's something there. Like, there's an interesting thing there. Like, and it's like it is ultimately like a fun game, but like it has a lot of flaws. I guess that's really how I feel about it. Like,
yeah.
We'll see how I feel about it as I go further. But
it's just funny, Jeff. It's like you said, like, I'd fully agree with you that if I were to step away from this for a couple of days, like, I don't know if one, I would even remember the control system and know where I'm at in the game. Like, it doesn't feel like a game you can just jump in and play.
Not at all. It's one. So it's going to be like probably the only thing I am playing over the next couple of days. Cause like, I just feel like you can't break from it. Otherwise you're just going to ruin it.
Yeah. So speaking of game, I did not take a break while playing. I played through all of Inside last weekend.
In one sitting.
I mean, it's not very long.
Nice.
It took me about 3.5 hours. That game is great.
Good job.
Holy fuck. Okay.
Holy
fuck. Proud of you, Chris.
You all right, Pete?
I'm surprised.
No, we'll get to what I'm doing in a second, but...
Okay.
I'm surprised that you had not. I thought we had like discussed this game and that you had played it that. But
well, you had gotten it. When it came out, I was on vacation, and I didn't end up picking it up. And then we got a bunch of other stuff that had come out during that time, and like it just slipped through the cracks for me. So I really like Limbo, another short puzzle platformer game. This is definitely in that vein. I think visual style, we talked about that with The Last Guardian. Inside has a great visual level design to it.
I nominated it for best looking.
Yeah, it is a great looking, like it is not like the crispest looking game, like Battlefield, like, you know, looks like a you know, war-torn area. It doesn't have, like, you know, that super vibrant, cute cartoon look that Overwatch has, but it has something going for it, and it's like a beautiful, beautiful game. Like, that world is fantastic. There's this depth to everything, even though it's a 2D platformer. Like, there's a depth to the environment.
Dude, how about just like trying to like time it perfectly so that you jump over a fence and get away before a dog runs around the fence in the background. Yeah.
Like, there's some really cool, like, puzzles that, like, deal with that, where there's this one where you're on a fence, you have to jump over the fence, you have three dogs chasing you, you're trying to pull off planks on a wall, and you jump back over the fence, it runs all the way down. It's tense. Like, that entire game is tense, and, like, that's why I didn't stop playing it, because there was just this, like, urgency to keep going. What's the next thing? It was great. I loved it. All the way through. In fact, I woke up the next day, woke up on Sunday, and I went through and found all, I think there's like 13 secrets, and got the secret ending. Damn. I cheated to do that. I mean,
you have to look those up because they're secret in a way that doesn't make them fun or interesting to find. Like, you just stumble.
Some of them stumble
on them by accident.
Yeah, I mean, there's one that there would be no way you would know how to get, because it takes place in a cornfield. And there's a grate that you open up in the cornfield.
Yeah.
But to get that one, you actually have to run through the cornfield holding down the grab button, so that when you do it, the guy will stop, and then you can lift it up. Like, otherwise, I don't even know how you know, because there's no visual cue that there's a secret there. There are visual cues for all the other ones. There are yellow wires that kind of point you in the direction of the secret. But
can we talk spoilers?
I think it's been out long enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
I'm not going to play it, so go ahead.
Peter, have you played it?
I watched an entire playthrough. I know the deal.
Okay. All right. Here's my thoughts on the ending, Chris. I thought once you turn into the giant monster, I'm like, oh, man, this is amazing. This is really going somewhere. And then when I got to the very end, I was just like, all right.
I'm dead?
I mean, like, it's not terrible, but it was just like...
It's pretty close, though.
I was expecting at least another beat, like another story beat, or like some sort of reveal.
It is a little weird that it just kind of stops.
Like, it makes it totally art house at that point, because it doesn't ever satisfy. It
doesn't explain anything. Yeah.
But almost for just the sake of being art house, like, I didn't feel like it did anything to increase the effect of the game, and like leave. It just was like, I almost felt like they came up with this thing and didn't know how to ever explain it. And they were like, if we let this go on too long, we're going to need to come up with something. So what if it just dies?
Just leave it right here. Yeah.
If it dies, then we don't ever have to talk about it again.
Which might be good for everybody. Because that blob monster thing was weird. But
did you think that was cool when it happened, though? Because, like, I kept hearing about this great ending, and I thought, like, oh, that's it. Like,
the ending itself, like, I like the reveal of, like, when you get to the point when you become the blob monster.
Like, yeah, that was really pretty cool. Awesome.
And then, like, even the puzzle, all the way running through and destroying shit and going through walls.
Yeah.
Like, it was chaos. Fun. And then, like figuring out the puzzles with the blob monster, because, like, you know, you're definitely limited in what you can do with that. And there are puzzles from that point that you have to figure out, and you get some of the workers to help you. And it's really weird, but then it just ends. And it's like, that's probably the one negative takeaway I'd have for the game, is that ending is fucking weird. And the secret ending also just kind of there.
I never even looked that up.
It's basically like, hey, you unplug one of those things that makes the mind control zombies go dead.
Right.
And then you go dead.
Yes.
And so a lot of people believe it's like some commentary on video games, and that like that you are somebody playing this kid, right? Like, he's not independent, he's being controlled just like he controlled all the other people.
I could see that. I don't know. I like that game a lot. One of our friends, Corey, he was not a fan of the submarine stuff, but I kind of love that whole area. Like, yeah, that game was like perfect for me in nearly every way. So I played all the way through that. I think it was like, I started at like 10. I was like, I'll just play for a couple hours and get a little bit way through. And then it was like 1:30 in the morning and I was done. So game was fun.
I think we might be hearing about it again in an upcoming episode.
Very, very possible. Let's see, Pete, you picked up Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, I picked it up and I finished it.
You finished it.
Yeah. Around 8 o'clock today, I finished the story. I'm playing it now though, because I'm so close. I'm like, I have 70% of the trophies already, and I'm like, there's no reason for me not to get the platinum. So, and it's like not Like, you'd think a Final Fantasy Platinum would be, like, super obtuse, but it's just like, hey, complete 80 side quests, which, but throughout the game, you're going to complete at least 50 or so pretty easily, and you know, I think the most annoying thing is going to be me leveling up, like, fishing and shit.
I like the fishing minigame. Yeah. Now that it works, so I figured out exactly what was wrong with my fishing minigame. I have the Guitar Hero Live receiver plugged in.
That's right. There's a bug with that. I didn't even.
and if you have that plugged in, the fishing minigame in Final Fantasy 15 does not work.
Oh,
it was so fucking random. And it's not something that I ever would have figured, but somebody said, hey, you should unplug this. Or if you like, I guess somebody also said like the Disney Infinity portal and the Lego portal for Lego Dimensions.
Oh man, I have that plugged in right now.
Yeah, that messes up the fishing minigame.
I would love to know why that is. Does it like think your controller is a peripheral then?
I guess. I don't know.
Like, is that how they programmed it?
It's really strange, right? Like, but unplugging that allowed me to fish. So
okay,
so I can fish now.
But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. It's my playtime right now. 27 hours,
which is crazy. Because so you're 27 hours in. Finishing a Final Fantasy game in 27 hours just seems.
Yeah, aren't they usually way longer?
Well, yeah. So the game is really easy. And I don't mean that as, like, beating my chest, I'm good at games. I mean, like, if
so the main quest is...
Yeah, if you play the game and you do side quests and stuff and you just sort of do what the game tells you to do, you're going to be roughly around the level you need to be by the end of the game. I died once, and that was by accident, because I think I don't know what happened. I was fighting the second-to-last boss, and out of nowhere, he does max damage to me, and it killed me instantly. He didn't do that the second time I fought him. I don't even know what triggered that. I don't know what happened. I don't know if I got caught under him, and it just did an incredible amount of damage, but that was the only time I died in the entire game.
Now, so when I sent out the email today saying I was about 20 hours in, I think I'm like 19 hours in.
Mm-hmm. What chapter are you at, like, story-wise?
So when I sent that out, I was on chapter 3.
Wow.
I am now on chapter 5, but I am like, you know, I'm like 7-8 hours behind you. Because I've just fallen down the trap of doing side quests and hunts and
yeah.
I mean, they're easy enough to do and rack up, and I ran into a couple problems. I didn't die ever, but I was running into a couple problems where I was running into Imperial, like, guys with guns, basically.
The dropships and stuff.
They were causing me all sorts of problems, so I was like, I need to level up, and then I just kept going.
Mm-hmm. It's really easy to do that, right? Because you got the car, and so you're just like, well, I'm going to just go in concentric circles with this car, and... Well,
what's crazy about the car is, so, like, I'd be like, all right, yeah, Ignis, drive me here. And then, like, I'll go and move the laundry, or I just like let Ignis drive me everywhere, and then I come back and if a drop ship happens, it's happened a couple times where a drop ship like will block you off from progress, so you have to take them out or run away and have your car towed to you. But like, it doesn't put you right in combat. Like, so my guys are just standing there at the car, and you can see the Imperials off in the distance. And so I just, like, walk away from the TV and come back and, oh, ready to go again.
Yeah. Okay, so, wow. Well, so what level are you? Do you know roughly what level you're at?
I'm 31.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I am
10 levels above where the main story is right now. Right.
So Noctis is level 50.
Okay.
Gladius and Ignis are 48 and Promptus 47. There will be multiple points where, for whatever reason, you all get separated and will only count experience for the characters present in your
party. Yeah, like, I just ran into a spot like that where me and Gladio kind of went on a mini adventure by ourselves for a little bit before Prompto and Ignis could rejoin us.
Oh, right. Are you doing the Titan thing?
Yeah, that's I finished that.
Okay. And so,
which that's weird because that game at times gets like really fucking linear. Like when it wants you to do something, it's like, here's what it fucking is, do it.
Like, well, it's funny that you say that now because you're only in chapter 5, but come chapter. So yeah, there. When you engage in the main story quest, it's like, okay, you're going to do this main story quest.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, recognize that that's what you're going to do here. But then come chapter 9, or 10 maybe, 9's the last one, you lose access to the open world. For a couple of chapters, like, completely. And then you'll gain the ability to travel back in time to the open world. But the rest of the main story is linear. Like, it's like, okay, we've gotten our shit together, and now it's time to take this seriously.
So where do you stand on the characters?
I really like them. I think Ignis is probably my favorite, and it has to do with some stuff that happens to him midway through the story.
Yeah, so I really like, and I've only run into this a couple times, but I really like the parts where like you'll get one-on-one time with one of your buddies or whatever.
They do
a really good job.
I just got the Ignis one. Where like if you camp enough times, he's like, hey, you want to help me make breakfast and stuff?
Yeah,
like,
so I got that one. That one was cool. Like,
you breakfast. I got the Prompto one was the first one I got, which you only get if you're staying at a particular
motel,
and he like hangs out and he like confesses like some insecurities about like, hey, I'm just a civilian. Like, I don't get why you guys hang out with me and stuff. You know, and
yeah, and like. It's funny because Noctis is kind of a dick.
Oh, he's a super douche. Like, I don't know if that was just, like, the voice actor or if they told him to be that way.
But like, in the main game, like, when, like, his commentary off the cuff that you don't have any control over, he's an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But, like, I don't want to play him that way. And so, like, when I met up with Iris and then when I had the Prompto encounter, I'm playing him, like, a much nicer person.
Me too. I love that they give you the option to be an asshole, and I'm like, why would you ever choose?
Well, yeah, because like when you have the Prompto thing, like you could just be like, go away. Like,
yeah, he's like hanging out and stuff, and you're just like, hey, man, anything bothering you? Or he'd just be like, fuck off, man. Like,
right.
go away.
Yeah, that stuff is handled really well, and
stuff. I kind of like that it actually does get linear, because at some point you could just spend forever in this open world and just be like, nothing's pushing me forward and stuff. But at some point, the immediacy of the storyline catches up to it.
I mean, Tony and Jeff could probably attest to this. I have problems. We've talked about this in Mass Effect 3 and other games where I do have that issue where it's like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, why aren't we, like, the fucking world is falling apart in Mass Effect 3. Like, and I'm here, you know, hawking goods on the fucking Citadel. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there's no sense of urgency for me. And this game, because of the way it's set up, there's no sense of urgency, at least right now, for me.
Well, and so, like, that, I feel like they do.
And I don't need the sense of urgency, though, because of the way the story's set up. Like,
yeah, I feel like they do a pretty good job of telling you that, like, okay, I can't go back... and reclaim my homeland, because I'm just going to get the shit kicked out of me.
Right.
So I got to go run around, and I got to go find these wild
arms. We're going to be on this, and it's going to take a while, and like we're going to have to get everything together. So it kind of makes sense that like I'm kind of just kind of doing some shit out in the world.
Right. And then like eventually, so you'll get Titan, and then you'll go on a quest to go get the other summon. And then once you go like to get the Leviathan one, that's when... Oh, I just totally left this. Okay, I didn't mean to do that. Then that's when, like, shit gets serious, and it's like, okay. And what I kind of like, you know, you're talking about Noct being a total asshole. There's some stuff later in the story, maybe about 3/4 of the way through, because Gladio's kind of, like, the one who gives him shit, right? It tells him to stop being such, like, an ass. And there's a lot more of that later in the story, where it's just, like, he literally, like, just pull your fucking ass out of your head, man. Like, you know, you gotta... you're a king, man. Like,
yeah, I got some of that in the Titan quest. Gladio yelled at me.
Yeah, he'll do that a couple of times throughout the game, and it
works. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, yeah. Dipshit. Like,
it works to the story's benefit for that to happen.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm really liking that game a lot. It's nice to be able to say, like, I'm enjoying a Final Fantasy game again.
Right? Like, and you know, a lot of people were, like, giving Square shit because, you know, for games that have been fairly well, you know, spread in terms of gender and things like that, like, you know, you will get a couple of guest female characters, kind of like, yeah, core guests with you on your party at some point.
Yeah. I mean,
but like,
I got to spend some time with Iris. I really like her.
Yeah, Iris is great in combat too because she can't die and all she does is heal you. It's amazing. And there's another like mercenary warrior woman that you get to hang out with at some point. But like the story is about these four guys and like their journey together, and I think the fact that you don't get any other party members aside from them is like really smart because it can't like change out members and just be like, oh, I really, even though, you know, Barrett's really important to the story, I never had him in my party, so who gives a shit?
And they're all for the first time in a while, those characters feel different. Like, they don't just feel like, probably since like 9, I guess, for me, like where each of the characters kind of had an individualized role. And you weren't just like, here, you can all be this based on the weapons and skills I give you. I'm going to all set you up as like brutes or whatever, like which you could do in 7, like with the materia. And
yeah,
this is like, you know, Prompto is a little bit weak and he uses a gun. You know, where Ignis uses like daggers and stuff, and Gladio uses big swords, and like you can use kind of anything, but. Like, they all feel different. They all control differently. They all have different techniques that utilize well. And
yeah. And, you know, it does, like, inspire this sense of, like, brotherhood in the story and stuff like that. You have no choice but to stick with these guys for the entire game and stuff like, yeah, that. And when it comes down to it, like, comes to the end of the story, there are a lot of really impactful moments related to that directly that I think, you know, it pays off.
So I'm like, I mean, there are definitely issues with it. The driving sucks.
I actually don't mind it as much because like once you learn that you are going to just stick to the road and all you have to do is really hold down the button and tell them,
yeah,
to turn.
Yes.
It's not that bad.
It just
one time he fucked up my car though. And I was like, did he? You're the AI. How did you do that? He like tried a U-turn and he did it right into a Jersey wall. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. This was something that like, I don't know if you guys played Mirror's Edge, like when they give you a gun in the original Mirror's Edge, like it feels like shit. Like shooting in that game was terrible. And you've given me this car, and I expect a certain level of competency of being able to drive it, like in any other open world game. And I understand that, like the way the game is set up, it's not designed to do that. But it's really like I'm on some weird monorail system. Like, it's so strange.
Such, yeah, a
strange thing. And the camera kind of sucks. And
the camera does suck. I don't like the dodging in the combat. It's like, because it's all animation based, and every monster has a different attack animation,
right,
and you have to. The timing is so thin that it becomes kind of a pain in the ass.
I just jump around a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I just warp strike everywhere, and I'm like, all right, I'm fine. But you know,
it's weird not having. And maybe I haven't experimented enough with the magic system, but it's weird not having like a straight up cure spell.
Yeah, and they kind of, like, it's a very streamlined Final Fantasy as well, because, you know, what do you call it? Like, there's not, like, 1.5 million items. It's like, okay, there's 2 types of potions.
Yeah, that was something that that Don was complaining about. Like, there's not even a lot of, like, equipment, really. Like,
no, there's no armor, basically. There are different, you get, in the entire game, you get 3 outfits, 2 of which you are given at the beginning of the game, and the third one you were given at the very end. And I think there were some DLC outfits that you could buy that didn't really do much, but came as pre-order bonuses.
It's refreshing, like that this Final Fantasy game is good.
Yes.
I know Don would argue with us that 13 was good.
I didn't hate 13. I actually like a lot of 13's characters.
I like 13's characters. There are things about that game that are just like...
I didn't mind the battle system as much as most people did. I think that this... Like, the funny thing is that 15 is very much a combination.
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought that was me.
I think we lost Pete's audio. Oh no, Pete went quiet. All right, well, hopefully we'll get you back, Pete.
Final Fantasy, good.
Yeah, we cannot hear you. Final Fantasy is good, yes.
Thumbs up.
I think based on Pete and my experience, and Fozzie seemed to like it, Don is liking it despite his grievances with equipment. That game is really
good. I have it. I'm going to play it.
I will play it. I'm waiting for it to drop in price. I've never played a Final Fantasy before, so you guys think I would like it?
Well, you liked Xenoblade Chronicles X, right?
Yeah, it was.
I did not play Chronicles X. I did not like what I played of Xenoblade Chronicles, the original one on the Wii. But I do wonder if some of that was just because Wii Remote Nunchuck, not the best system. And so I do wonder if maybe that was some of it. And
hello?
And, hey, there's Pete.
I don't know why that happened. That was so weird.
It was weird. Okay. Yes, I think you might like it, Jeff. If you like Xenoblade Chronicles X, I think you might enjoy this.
Yeah.
I will play.
Really cool.
The side quests that Pete and I are talking about, they're all very like
it's busy work.
Yeah, it's all a lot of fetch quests, but it's fun like going out and exploring the environment and fighting the enemies is fun, and it's just interesting. It's not The Witcher. Like, you're not going to get like deep storylines for most of these quests. Some of the hunts do have like cool like backstories and then like in-depth dungeon crawls to get to the boss, but
yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. And this dungeon man is fucking me real good.
Oh baby,
but yeah, I mean, I like this. Like, I'm playing it right now, doing a podcast with you guys. Right? I mean, aside from story quests, there's nothing really all that important that you need.
It's
pay attention to.
Also, because it's like so kind of like that stuff is kind of mindless. You can just kind of play it and just enjoy like. You know, having time, like you don't have to put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, it's not like Titanfall or Battlefield multiplayer where you're like having to pay attention all the time. And
yeah,
like you can get stuff done just kind of like while walking around, and it's cool.
It's a very good game. Like I put it up at, I like, look, I wouldn't say that the story is amazing. I totally, you know, one of the news pieces that we didn't touch on, but I guess makes sense with this conversation is that they are going to patch in additional story content to the game because a lot of people like
didn't understand what was going on.
There are some
plot
holes in the game. Like, I know, Chris, you haven't gotten very far in it, but there's one character.
I think it's really easy to follow the story.
It is thus far, but there's one character, Ravis, who you may have seen in a cutscene. He's the commander of the Imperial Army, white hair,
yeah,
black arm. Yeah, he does some things in the game that make no sense.
Okay.
And they said that they were specifically going to address some of the plot holes with his backstory.
I mean, at some point, though, it is a Final Fantasy game. Like, some shit's just not going to make sense.
Absolutely, you know, and but this is like, oh, hey, there's a turn of events with this character that literally has no lead up, considering he's
okay.
And I think they're going to address some of the villain, because, like, the villains... Like, who the villain is and why he's doing what he's doing, like, is a blink and you miss it explanation towards the very end of the game.
Huh.
And There's a time jump that I'm not entirely sure was explained. But aside from, you know, that, those couple of things, you know, I think the story holds together fairly well and actually is, like, pretty emotionally resonant by the end of the game. Like, by the end of the game.
It's probably the most grounded, at least where I'm at right now, the most grounded Final Fantasy, like, narrative in a long time. Like, hey, you're the prince of this kingdom. Your dad is killed. Your kingdom's kind of been taken away from you. You need to find, like, these things to, like, you know, help you take your kingdom back. It seems pretty, like, straightforward, so.
Yeah, and it doesn't really get all that more complicated, because, like, once you, like,
which is nice, it's a nice change of pace.
It's like, okay, we're just gonna go kill the guys who attacked us.
It's a nice change of pace from, like, you know, weird lab rat guys bringing a meteor down to destroy the entire world.
God, it's so hard to forget that's a major part of Final Fantasy VII. Everybody talks about Midgar and, like, all that stuff, but yeah, that had some, like, weird incestuous overtones. And...
Yeah. Anyway, that's Final Fantasy 15. I'm sure that'll be coming up for discussion in a couple weeks as well.
Yeah, like, credit where credit's due, you know, the game was 10 years in development, and it's more than solid.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, like, a really good game.
I mean, I guess if you were to, like, look at each individual part individually, like, maybe
it's a lot of disparate parts.
Yeah, but for some reason, it works. Like, all of it works together. It's fun. I like it
very smartly, too, because, like, yeah. I think that, like, you might wonder, like, why is there cooking in this game? Why do you have to fish? Why the fuck does Prompto take pictures of everything? Right, and in ways you would not expect, all that stuff kind of comes around in really interesting ways.
Yeah, I really like it. So I'll be interested to hear what Tony and Jeff have to say if they get a chance to play it.
I will play it, but I don't know if I get to play it before Game of the Year. So
got it. Real briefly, I played and finished Yoshi's Woolly World.
Why?
That's a game.
Why? It's an okay game. It's not, like, terrible.
It's okay. Yeah, my thumb really hurt after playing that game.
Your body was probably rejected.
There was a lot of, like, holding down buttons. Like, there are some boss battles in that, and some levels in that are just, like, extraordinarily difficult. You really need the time. Like, I don't know how kids would play that game. Like,
I already forgot it. Like, I played through it all, and I don't remember it being hard or easy. Like, I completely forgot.
Like, most of it is pretty straightforward and easy. There are a few levels that were just a pain in the ass for me. And some of the boss battles were just annoying. They weren't necessarily hard, but they were just annoying. So, but yeah, I beat that thing. That's gone. And I started Pokemon Moon.
Oh.
Who'd you pick?
Litten.
Yeah. Right, you made the correct choice.
That game's really good.
It is, right?
I mean, it's a Pokemon game, but I kind of like the setup one. Like, Tony, have you played much of it, or?
So my son and I are. God, where are we? We're far, far into it.
Okay, but I like the opening to that game. Like, almost like there's some, like, sort of setup for an actual story. I don't know if it goes anywhere. I don't know if it pays off, but
it does. I think the important thing to realize in that, and I should have mentioned this in my review, is that you are not the main character of that story.
It's Lily.
Yes.
Like, you're following Lily around. Like,
yeah, she's
great. Her and Nebby.
That fucking Nebby, man.
Get in the bag. Yeah, like, I really like her as a character. I like that opening. Like, it was exciting. Like most Pokemon games were like, hey, you're the new kid. Like, you're still the new kid. But, like, there's more of a setup to it this time. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I'm starting my first trial, so I'm not too far into it.
Okay.
Tony, Pete, maybe you can answer this. Do they still kind of lock control over Pokemon at certain levels based on the trials that you
complete?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's just balanced.
Yeah, they just kind of rebranded some of the Pokemon
trophies. Like, instead of a gym, it's now the trial area.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. And so, like...
So I can't, like, over-level Litten and...
Cause... I mean, not well, that would take you forever, but what they more are trying to prevent is you receiving a friend's Pokemon.
Okay.
That's really high level, and then having that totally... I'll let you just scream through the game.
Got it. Okay. But yeah, I'm liking it. That game's really kind of, like, good-looking, too, on the 3DS.
Which version of the 3DS are you playing on?
New 3DS.
Oh, okay. I'd be curious to see if the frame rate problems I had in my version continue in yours.
I haven't seen any. Like, it seems pretty fluid, like...
And it is up until the point where they put a bunch of Pokemon on the screen.
Okay, I'll let you know once again, because I haven't come across any, like, more than one-on-ones right now, so...
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, they made some, like, quality of life changes to, like, up from X. Like, just being able to bring up, like, a Pokeball with a button.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, super nice. Hey, maybe you guys can answer this too. Can you name a Pokemon after you put it in the box? Like, and
don't no, you it? Have to do it right when you catch it. There is a okay. That's a lie. There's a person late in the game called the Name Changer.
Okay.
Who, lets you?
I don't know. That's something I had a problem with in Y.
They're in every game.
Yeah, it's just like where it's like I don't know what to name this thing right now.
I just don't. I guess I'm weird, but I don't nickname my Pokemon.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so like a lot of mine are just like the same name, like as what they are, and I guess that's fine. It's just
there's nothing wrong with that, Chris.
I don't know. It's like, but they keep asking me to want to name it, and I feel bad for not naming it. But it's like, I don't know what war is an animal.
We're judging you.
All right.
Honestly, I can't remember what they're called anyway, so it's better for me to keep the name of what it is.
Right. That game's fun. Way better. Like, it's just an evolutionary uptick over Y, and it's fun. That's a good game. It might end up on my top 10 list.
One thing we didn't mention about the PSX conference that might be important for later is that Suda51's game Let It Die was released. It was released for free. It's a free to play game, so I might look into that for next week.
Okay.
That is,
Jeff, you played something else too, right?
Yeah, some game Wind something.
Windlands.
Yeah.
Have I ever talked about that?
No.
It's a VR game for like on PS. I think it's on everything. Like, if you have VR, like you can play it. It's like this weird, colorful. Like, it looks like a classic 3D platforming world, like Mario 64 or something.
Okay.
But you are first person jumping around in it and shit. And it is like, I don't know. Like,
is it nauseating?
If you get motion sickness easily from VR, like, this is the game that's gonna make you like fucking hurl, right? But like, it's like one of my favorite games to play on PSVR because it's like the freedom of movement in it. Like, you could jump like fucking 20, 30 feet in the air, just go flying across the level. And like, sometimes when you get enough air and you're like falling for long enough, you start to feel it in your stomach, like being on a roller coaster. It's fucking crazy, dude. And on top of that, you have with each of your hands, you have a grappling hook you could shoot out, and that's how you get around the world. So you're like swinging around basically like Spider-Man. It's fucking awesome. And all you do in all the levels is like try to get up to the top and get like a jewel or whatever collectibles at the top, and that's it. Fun game.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Have you played anything else VR? That Star Wars thing's out, right?
I have not played that because I do not have Battlefront, even though it's been as low as like $7 or $6 on PS4, and I have not bought it.
Yeah, you could probably get that game pretty cheap because they just released a one. It's going free to play on Xbox One. So, but on PS4 and Xbox One, they just released like a $40 version that has everything, including the season pass in it. So you could probably get the base game of that pretty cheap now. So.
I should have bought it when it was on sale, like very cheap, because like I won't play it much because it's multiplayer only, and I just want to try the VR thing.
Right. Honestly. Yeah. If it's as long as the Batman thing, maybe you know $15 is probably fine.
Yeah. Right. So, maybe
I will be interested to hear what you have to say about that because it does not look like I will be getting a PSVR. Until sometime next year, probably after the Switch. So,
right. Well, it's fine. Maybe there will be a new iteration of it at some point.
Maybe.
Speaking of the Switch, it was just on Jimmy Fallon playing Zelda. Like,
it was, yeah. Zelda was there. And I guess there's rumor that GameCube games are going to be coming to the virtual console.
I think it's confirmed.
About fucking time.
Was it confirmed?
I think so.
I think that'll be really cool. So.
Fuck yeah.
I do hope they find a way to allow you to transfer your virtual console games from Wii U to the Switch. That would be nice. They probably won't, but...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're right, Tony, way. But... You pay for them again. Then you transfer it over.
Design our accounts in such a way that they can be carried.
Oh, that was something that wasn't announced at PSX, right? The ability to change your name? Did they not announce that?
No, they didn't.
Huh, so I guess that's still not coming yet.
That's insane.
I mean, I'm not going to change my PSN name, but...
A lot of people just think it's going to be
shows up in an update once. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you can do this now. Tony, you been playing anything else?
Lots of Battlefield. Lots and lots of Battlefield. Battlefield is so good. Can I just say that?
And we played some Titanfall last weekend. We couldn't talk to each other, but...
That's
I don't
right.
know if that's been fixed, but
I hope they fix that. Also, this is a double XP weekend.
Ooh, yes. I should definitely get on and play some of that.
Yes,
that game's really good. I'm almost at level 50.
Oh wow! So. Okay, you played a lot more than me.
But you've played a lot more Battlefield than I have. So
up to level, I hit 22 today.
I think I'm like level 14. So that game is really good. Both of those shooters, excellent. Excellent, excellent games. Both of them, I think, we'll be talking about in Game of the Year very shortly. So,
and Jeff, you played Resident Evil, right?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Briefly touch about that. Tell us about Resident Evil.
Okay, all right. So, there's a demo out for Resident Evil 7 on PS4. Like, I'm sure. Has everyone played that or no?
No. I could get it, but I haven't.
It's PS Plus only, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Because it was when it came out at E3, right? You had that PS.
I think maybe then, but I don't think so anymore. Because, anyways, I had the demo and I got the update, which just came out. Which is, they added like more areas of the mansion that you could access.
Okay.
As well as you could play it in VR.
Okay.
And all right, so. I don't know. Like, all it really did is give you, like, access to another room. And I think there are other things you could do, whatever. But,
Yeah, you
And then playing
it... The phone, which was the one item that nobody knew what to do with for a while. Like, they patched in or activated the solution to it or something. And it lets you finish the dungeon, basically.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like a billion things I missed. Like, I have to play it again because, like, there was like one room with like a tub with this thing above it. It was like you could insert something in here, and like it wasn't the finger, but like I felt like if I found something else, I could insert it in there. But, anyways, but I thought the VR portion of it was like rough. Like, it did not feel right to me. Like, in most VR games, you know, not only can you just look around, like rotate your head, but you can like move your head forward or back. Like, you can lean in different directions.
Right.
And when I did it in this demo, it like felt wobbly. Like, it felt like the camera did not want to go off that fixed position. I don't know. It just didn't feel right. It felt cheap. It felt tacked on. But I probably will still like play most of the game in that because it is a cool experience to play like a horror game like that, you know?
Okay, so I have a big question here. Is it more Texas Chainsaw Massacre or is it more Resident Evil? Maybe that's a weird question. Do you know what I mean, though? Like,
there's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibe for sure. Like, that's what it feels like.
But does it still feel like B horror movie vibe as well? Like, do you get that feel from it, or is it more like this kind of like gritty horror?
No, it's. I don't think it's gritty really, but it does have like that. It does have, you know, like the setting and whatnot feels like something like Texas Chainsaw.
Right, I'm fine with that as long as like it also still kind of has like that B horror movie feel.
It's definitely not taking itself seriously, I don't think. Like,
okay, that makes me feel good because that's what I didn't really want was that to be like this super serious horror game. Not that I don't like super serious horror, but Resident Evil to me has always kind of been like a, you know, a tongue in cheek kind of takes itself almost like a joke at times. Like, it can be scary. Like, there were definitely scary parts in the original Resident Evil and Resident Evil 2, but it's also, like, fun.
Yeah.
That makes any sense.
I'm interested to see, too, how the final product turns out. Like, how much elements it retains of the original game, because I've heard it is kind of a throwback to it.
Okay.
Which is, like, awesome. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're doing like what's popular now, like a first person horror game, but they're like, from what I've heard, sticking to like the roots of what that series is about, which is like inventory management and like, I don't know, whatever. Like,
all right,
it'll have like herbs and keys and shit like that, like all things you wrote. So yeah, I'm fucking stoked for it.
All right,
but the VR felt pretty cheap to me.
Let's see. Next week, we're probably still talking about some of these same games. I'm going to play Stardew Valley on the Xbox One.
Fuck you.
That comes out Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. And
it's the 13th, right?
Comes out the day before on PS4. So if it comes out the 13th on PS4, it's the 14th on Xbox One. I'm going to give that game a go, Pete, because you and Fozzie were pretty high on it.
Good.
I'm also going to try and play Hitman or The Witness this weekend. Not the entire thing, obviously, but I'll play a little bit more of those so that I'm prepared for Game of the Year. Yeah.
Do it.
We're getting close, guys.
You're so close.
We are.
My body is ready.
Your body's not ready. You've got a lot of games to play.
My body is as ready as it needs to be.
Yeah, and I'll have seen Rogue One when we record next week.
Yeah, I couldn't find anybody to go with me, but I will not let that stop me. So,
all right. So we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.